Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's a good night in here, I can tell. Praise the Lord. God is with us. Amen. I said, God is with us. Amen. He's for us. He's with us. He wants to take us into the promised land. Glory to God. And I just say that I'm going in there and I'm going to drag you along with me. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You may be kicking and screaming, but we're dragging you in anyways. Amen. You showed up, so we're going in together. I'm just kidding. I believe that we're all doing this together. I believe it's the will of God. I believe it's what He wants, but I also believe it's what you want. Amen. Praise God. You didn't come here to church on a Tuesday night just for something to do, but you came to get blessed. Amen. And so you're going to get blessed tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is with us. He's here today. Amen. I can tell already. Hallelujah. Praise God for it. Thank you, Lord. Tonight's message is called, Are You Engaged? Praise the Lord. If you don't know if you got the faith fix, or not the faith fix, we sent that out, but the slick text, praise the Lord. If you got the slick text, then you know that you probably had an idea of what I'm preaching on tonight. Amen. But this is something that just stirred in my heart. Actually, it stirred in, I was having a conversation with my mom this morning, and quite often, as it does, something stirred in the conversation, and I knew the direction that I was going to have. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost and the knowledge to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord, because you can't come up with this stuff on your own. At least I couldn't. Amen. Maybe you could. Praise the Lord, but I can't, so I thank God for it. Amen. Are you engaged? Praise the Lord. We're not talking about marriage tonight. Hallelujah. We're not talking about that type of thing, but we're talking about being engaged in the body of Christ, engaged in the church, and engaged in the man of God. Amen. And you know, it's one thing to come to church. It's always good to come to church. Praise the Lord. But it's another thing to come to church engaged. That word engaged is kind of an important word to me. Amen. I've thought about it a lot over the years. I always love people that get engaged. Praise the Lord for them. You know, this is my fiance. A lot of people like to say, this is my fiance. We're engaged. Amen. But a lot of people get engaged. And have you ever noticed that sometimes people that get engaged are perpetual engagements? Amen. That they're engaged for an awfully long time. Amen. And, you know, it's funny when that happens, because it completely is the opposite of what the word engaged means. Amen. It's like I was saying in a car, when your gears engage and the motor engages, praise the Lord, you go down the road. But if nothing is engaged, or if you're not going anywhere, that's because nothing is engaged. Well, the same thing is with life. The same thing is with marriage. If it's not going anywhere, praise the Lord, it's not engaged. Neither are you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you just share that with all your Facebook friends when you see, this is the fifth year of our engagement. Well, not really. Praise the Lord. But glory to God. That's free, no charge. Hallelujah. But, you know, as the conversation that I was talking about is, you know, we recently made a change to the faith fix, you know. And there was a leading in my heart to do so. And as I just kind of followed that leading. And I said to my wife, I said, we're changing faith fix. She's like, oh, okay. And I was like, this is the way we're going with it. And she's like, well, praise the Lord. But it was on my heart to have people engage with what we're doing. Amen. And the reason that we do an Ask the Pastor, in the beginning of this year, I went to a lot of my leaders and I said, you know, you would do well to meet with me periodically and do like a mentoring type of thing. And the reason that I said that is because there's a scriptural, spiritual law that when you pull on the gift, okay, the gift, not me, but the gift of the office, the pastor, praise the Lord, but when you, or whatever, you know, office that you're dealing with, but when you pull on the gift, when you put a demand on the gift, that things get pulled out, and that the Lord gets to, the Lord gets to speak in ways, and sometimes they answer questions, and to get to knowledge over to people in that process, amen. Praise the Lord. And it's, my wife, before Pastor Michael came in this year, she did a message in Corey that was kind of along those lines. And, Paul had talked about the importance of being in front of the people and being with the people, because there was things that would be pulled out of them. Amen. And so the reason that we did the faith fix, even though it's not that, I mean, we could continually put a draw on God and receive from Him as pastors. And we had thought about doing so. But we decided to go a different way because under the direction of God, and I believe it was to engage the people more with what's going on. And because when you put a demand on it, when you desire it, you know, God moves more in that realm than he does outside of it. And just like everything in the church, you know, why do we praise in church? Well, we praise in church to teach people what to do at home. And we're teaching people to engage in the things of God while they're at church or when they're thinking about church or throughout their week by sending an email in, praise the Lord, with a question, so that we can get people to realize that we need to continually live this life before the Lord. You know, I don't ever take answers before the Lord or questions before the Lord and not have them answered. And I love that about the way that relationship works. Amen. But that was a reason for the change. But in dealing with this message and where this message came about is because instantly I started thinking about how we're engaged in the church. And you know, when we come to church, how we come. And of course, I actually, one of the scriptures I'm going to today, I found out this afternoon, actually after, you know, the message was complete and everything, found out my wife actually preached on it last Tuesday. And so it was interesting to me that the Lord has brought that out again. But we know, praise the Lord, because my wife and I don't necessarily talk about those things, and we didn't in this case. So we know that God's doing something, amen, and he's trying to get something over to us. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be talking about getting engaged. We're talking about, you know, the importance of being engaged in the church. And what I mean by that is being connected to what God's doing. We have to see the church as more than just something as a place we go, as a place that, you know, this part. We need to see it as our life. Yeah. Amen. God has given us this faith as to be lived. It's not something that we're... Now, I don't mean that your church has to be a life in the sense of, you know, we got to start building little huts around the building and everybody's got to move on to the compound. You know what I mean? We're not talking about that, praise the Lord. And I'm not saying that you have to serve every day of your life and all that stuff. But the work of the Lord should be on our hearts continually. Amen. In fact, if our lives, what I've come to realize, that if the work of the Lord isn't in our hearts continually, then we're severely lacking in understanding of what God wants to do and why he saved us. Amen. Because God didn't just save us for us. Praise the Lord that he did save us for us. Amen. But he didn't just save us for us. He saved us for a greater purpose. Amen. And all the blessings of God are discovered in that greater purpose. Praise the Lord. So we're going to believe God to get everything out of what he has for us today. Amen. You know, we got three questions this week, and I answered them all today. Praise the Lord. And so I've already preached three sermons this afternoon. Glory to God. One of them, if you got them on your faith fix, praise the Lord. But we're gonna get more of it right now. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to Philippians 3:14. Glory to God. God is good, is he? You know, there's often, and you'll see it in this church, but often in with God, God moves us into change. And the reason that he moves us into change is because humans have this tendency to get stale in the place that they're at. One of the things that I've talked about often is, you know, great moves of God where wonderful things have happened and people have kind of put them into a box and said, well, this is how God moves. And then all of a sudden they form a religion around it or a denomination around it. And then once they got a denomination, this is the way we're going to do things. And the whole thing is they start doing things the way they always done them and it becomes tradition and not necessarily the moving of God. Right. Now, God moves in different ways. He himself does not change. His desire for humanity does not change, but the things and the way he utilizes us, in a sense, does change. You know what I mean? Like, he will cater things to a particular region. We see that in Corey. The messages that we preach down there are very different than the ones that are here. If you've seen both, maybe you don't even notice it, but we notice it as ministers. There's a very different anointing down there, a very different direction that God is taking it. And that's because God caters it for people. That's why also that you'll be called to a certain church, and you can't just go church hopping to any church that you want to. Yeah, I mean, if it's one thing to go to a service or something, you know, we have people that will come to the service from other churches and stuff, and that's fine. But we need to be planted in a local church, glory to God, and we can feed in other areas. You know, there's not wrong as long as it's biblical and scriptural, you know, but we always do bring our best to our church, amen. And I say that even to people that don't go to our church. I don't want, you know, somebody who goes to another church, I don't want them tithing in this church. They need to tithe, but not in this church. They tithe to their church. If they want to give, praise the Lord, glory to God, we'll accept that. Amen. But you understand, you always give your best to where your own home. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God moves us into change for our sake, not His. God doesn't need to change. He doesn't, you know, God's constant. He doesn't need it. But we need to shake things up sometimes, because what happens is if we get too program-minded, well, then we'll just do this. This is a program. You know, my son recently and some others in the church have started doing kind of getting some of the young adults together, you know, the, you know, 18 to 25-year-olds or something in that area. And I told them, you know, as they were doing it, I said, don't make it a thing. You know, just get together, praise the Lord. You don't have to have a specific ministry to do it. You know, just get together. I mean, you do it right, obviously. You do it honorably and do it, you know, the way that you're supposed to, like we should live our lives, praise God. But you don't make it a thing, because whenever humans make things a thing, it becomes the focus of their lives. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we can make our religion a focus of our lives. We see that in some denominations where they've made the religion the focus. Well, I am this, or I am this, and I can't stray from this or that. Well, I am not this or that other than that I'm a Christian. Amen? I don't even look at politics that way. Although sometimes I can tend to lean a certain direction because belief systems and stuff like that. But I'm always open to whatever God wants to do and who He wants to use. Amen? I endeavor in my life, I should say, I'm not perfect at it, but I endeavor in my life to always be a person who is trying to follow God above everything else. Amen? Now, I'm not perfect at that, and neither are you, but together maybe we'll get there to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Philippians 3:14, did you find it yet? I didn't. Amen? Glory to God. There it is. What's it say here? It says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal. You know, I'm going to stop here. Actually, I want to go back up to verse 13 first. And I want to read that. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I want to do this anyways because something just popped in my heart. Praise the Lord. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Yeah. Now, the reason this popped in my heart is because I sense that there's some people in here that like to hang on to things that are behind. Praise God. And you can't press forward into the things of God if you're holding on to all this baggage behind you. You got to let it go. And what do I mean? What's baggage behind you? Do you have a bad day today? Sure. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow, let it go. Yeah. Let what go? The day that you just had that was bad. Yeah. Why? Because it doesn't matter. You know, as a pastor, I was taught that every message that you preach, they told me, you leave it in the pulpit. Maybe I got up there and preached a really good message. Maybe I got up there and felt like I preached a really bad message. Regardless of how I preach, I leave it in the pulpit. Why? Because it doesn't matter. It's behind. Whatever I did then was behind. Maybe I got up there and said something really stupid. Doesn't matter. It's behind. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we have to do that with our lives. We have to forget those things which are behind. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we just forget about everything. You know, I like to remember my kids when they were little and stuff like that. And we think about our past. And sometimes my wife and I or my mother and I or whatever will reminisce about things. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But what we're talking about are holding on to things that keep us bound to that. To something else that was before. You know, the trap in that is really simple, because the trap in that is it keeps you, because you can't change that. Right. You know, and this is the thing. You can still change the future. You can still change today, but you can't change yesterday. Yeah. And the thing that we have to remember about that's so important is the devil would love to keep us focused on what we can't change. Oh, woe is me. Oh, poor me. Why did I do this? Why did I do that? None of it matters. Actually, I know a man, praise the Lord. He's a Christian man, older gentleman, and he regrets a lot of things in his life. And he regrets a lot of things in his life, mostly because a lot of the knowledge that he should have gotten, he didn't get. And so he's it's not that he made bad decisions. He just didn't get into certain things. And so, but the thing that I learned about this man, and I try to talk to him, try to help him with it, but he spends more time thinking about that stuff, the past, what didn't happen, than he does what did. See, you don't even have to be wrapped up in what did happen. You can be wrapped up in what didn't happen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You can spend your life in regret, and that's no place to live. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're on this for a reason. God, I didn't plan this, but God, you know, God had me go this way. But we need to forget those things which are behind. Today, you forget what was behind yesterday. Heck, 5 minutes ago, you can forget that. Maybe you had a bad trip on the way into church. Praise the Lord. Well, just have a good service. Amen. Come in engaged. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Actually, to sit in the past really is to disengage. It's to sit. I talk to my son often just because he's a young man and needs guidance, you know, like every young man does. Praise the Lord. But I talk to my son often. I said, are you spinning your wheels? I ask that question all the time. Don't spin your wheels. Why? Because everyone knows when you spin your wheels, you're not going anywhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. One time this winter, I decided we were pulling up next to the mailbox. I decided I was going to get real close for my wife. And so I got my truck over real close. I figured, no problem. I got four-wheel drive. Well, I got it over real close to the side. And we started sliding off into the edge. And guess what? I started spinning wheels. And so I put it into four-wheel drive. Guess what? Four wheels started spinning, or two, or however it works. Praise the Lord. But I didn't go anywhere. Amen? Because I was just spinning my wheels. I had to call Denny. Denny was so gracious. Come up and help me get out. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But just sit there spinning my wheels. Wasn't going anywhere. I was mad. I was upset. Praise the Lord. I'm not upset about it anymore. Wouldn't it be foolish if I look back to that moment in my life and just got so, just, oh, why did I do that? Why did I waste that hour? Why did I waste that half hour? You know, I even got a little crease on the hood of my truck because I went up against the mailbox, you know. Those that tough plastic, man, it just bends that hard metal that they put on those trucks nowadays. But, you know, I got a little crease on it. I could just sit there and wring my hands and be all mad about what happened. But what good would it do me? You say, well, that'd be foolish to do that, Pastor Jeff. And you're right, it would be foolish. But it's just as foolish to sit there and worry about anything that happened yesterday. I said, it's just, maybe you did the worst thing possible yesterday. It's just as foolish to worry about that than it would me getting worked up about going in the ditch. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But going on with the message, praise the Lord, I press toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice the call is called the upward call. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you don't get upward if you just sit in one spot, if you're not engaged. Amen. If you're not pressing forward, you're not going to go upward. I love that God put it upward. Why? Because that gives us the idea that we always have to be reaching. We always have to be climbing. We always have to be pressing. Amen. My wife and I this afternoon, just to relax a little bit. And, you know, I did prep time getting prepared for church and stuff. And we just decided to go for a little walk in Chautauqua Institution. And I told her we're going to walk back and forth. I wanted to walk back and forth in this one area, just up one street, down the other, up one street, down the other. And we were talking about where we were going. And I said, well, we only go this far. She's like, she was getting confused at where I was taking her, amen? Because I kept telling her, I was like, you're supposed to turn here. She's like, well, I didn't know. I said, well, we told you we're going back and forth. She said, but we're not going all the way. And I said, the reason we're not going all the way is because if we kept going on that one path, it goes down a big hill. And when you go down a big hill, when you're going back and forth, what do you got to do? You got to come back up the big hill, praise the Lord. And I didn't want to have to walk. I mean, we're going for a walk. I didn't want to go for a hike, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So I was avoiding the big hill. We eventually walked up the hill once, part of it, praise the Lord. But, you know, just to say that we did. But, the point is you can't just do that if you're just coasting. You can't just do that if you're not engaged, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word press means to pursue in a hostile manner. Praise God. Earnestly endeavor to acquire. To pursue in a hostile manner. Praise the Lord. What does it mean to press toward the upward call of Christ? Praise the Lord. Is there any way we can leave the scriptures up, or do they just pop down by themselves? Oh, it's not working. They're not even up tonight. Well, don't worry about that then. Anyways, praise the Lord. The word press means to pursue in a hostile manner. Praise the Lord. That's someone who's after it. Amen. That's someone who's not going to give up. That's somebody who is like, no matter what, this isn't going to stop me from going forward. This isn't going to stop me from going into what God has for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to be people who are pressing towards that upward call of God. What's the upward call of God? Well, it's after everything that He has for us. It's after the plan of God. It's after the plan of God for us individually, but the plan of God for us corporately. Amen. Because we have a plan together. Praise the Lord, but we have a plan individually, and we need to make sure that we're after all of that. Amen. Pursue in a hostile manner. We want to be after it. We don't want to give up on it. We want to keep pushing. What is this? If you have this attitude of someone who is going to press, somebody who is going to push, what are you going to do? You're going to keep going. You're not going to give up. It doesn't matter what hill is before you. You're going to push. You might go up a little slowly. You might go up slower than you went down, praise the Lord, but you're going to go up anyways. You're going to continue to keep going forward, amen? And that's exactly what God is calling us to do here. That's what the Word is calling us to do. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God, amen? The upward call of God. We have to remember it's up. It's not down. It's not backwards. It's up, forward. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now turn with me. This is the scriptures that my wife was in apparently last week. Turn with me to Revelation 3. Praise the Lord. You know, in the book of Revelation here is pretty interesting. I was studying this out just this afternoon. But in the first two, the second and third chapter of Revelation, there's it talks about seven different churches here, amen? Now, we understand that through study, we understand a few things about these churches. All seven of these are churches that actually existed. Praise the Lord. And so God is speaking to all of them. But also we understand that each one of these churches represents a different age in the church. Amen? A different time period of church history from the time Jesus was here until now. Amen? That's pretty interesting, isn't it? But also each one of these represents characteristics that you can find in any given church. Actually, if you look at, just briefly, if you look at Revelation 3:1 and 3:1 through 6, talks about the dead church. Ugh. We don't want to be called the dead church, amen? I mean, you want to be the dead church? I don't want to be the dead church. Praise God. I wrote in there and just put a question mark after it because I was just seeking, is this what this is? But I was like, is this the seeker-sensitive church? What's a seeker-sensitive church? Well, if you read about the dead church, it's one that it looks like it's alive. Yeah. People say, wow, that church has got something going on. Stuff is happening. Yeah. Why? Because they got lots of people. They got a big music program. They got, now I'm not saying that every church that has a big music program, you understand. But what is the fruit that is coming out of that church? See, the fruit of a church isn't just necessarily numbers, but it's lives changed. Yeah. I could care less about numbers as much as I care about lives being changed. Because if lives aren't being changed, we are a dead church. If somebody's life isn't, if you're not better than you were, you're dead. You might as well be, amen? And so the church of Sardis was called the dead church because they looked alive, but they weren't. And so we see that a lot in seeker-sensitive churches. You can see churches today that are thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And just because it's thousands of people doesn't make it dead. But what is the fruit of what's happening there? That's the difference. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we don't condemn a church for being big. Glory to God. But the same thing is there's a lot of small churches that are dead too. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we're not talking about the dead church. We're going to be talking about another church. The Laodicean church, which we it's called the lukewarm church, praise the Lord, found in Revelation 3:14 through 17, is where we're going to be reading. But the Laodicean church, I believe, my wife believes, and many people who are much smarter than us believe, is the church that exists today. Now, this, of course, the Laodicean church was actually in existence. It was an actual church. The interesting thing to note about all of these churches is that specifically the ones that these letters were written to, none of these churches are in existence today. Yeah. In the sense of the actual church that was there. That's pretty interesting. But the Laodicean church was a church, is where the church, kind of the church age today. It's kind of what we see going on today. Amen? And so we're going to talk about that. Praise the Lord. So Revelation 3, starting in verse 14, it says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, Now, when it says the angel of the church of Laodiceans, this is interesting. This, if you study this word out, the word angel is also the same word for minister. Amen? The reason we know this is because even though there could be an angel that is over a church, the angel isn't the one who ministers to the church in the sense of like the word of God. Amen. But we understand that this is talking to the pastor of the church. Amen. That's free, no charge, but we'll go on. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, I love this because he gives an introduction to himself. What does it call? What does it call Jesus? It calls him the Amen.
Yeah.
That's the so be it.
Yeah.
That should tell us something. When God calls himself the so be it,
yeah.
Praise the Lord. That tells us something about our God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what's funny is it isn't different than it told us way back in Exodus. Was it Exodus 13, 14, somewhere around there or something like that? It says that God said, I am the I am. That's the same thing as saying, so be it. I'm the so be it. Hallelujah. He is the amen. Praise the Lord. God is the amen. He is the answer to all the questions, all the problems. Glory to God. The faithful and true witness. That's important too. What do we see? Another thing about God's character here. He's faithful and he's true. And so the people of God should be what? Faithful and true. Amen. The beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Ooh, praise the Lord. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about throw up. He just called this church throw up. That's what he just called this church. I don't know about you, but I've never seen throw up that was enticing at all. I've never seen it where I looked at it and thought, man, you know, I'd like to have me some of that. You don't bottle throw up. No, I'm just telling you the truth. So why do we, we got to get a little bit graphic so we understand that we don't want to be that thing.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
I'm just telling you the truth. It's nasty stuff.
Yeah.
What does throw up mean? It means you're sick.
Yeah.
It means it makes you sick.
Yeah.
Well, glory to God.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard my pastor talk about it like this. You know, if you, I'm a coffee drinker. I like hot coffee and I like cold coffee. But lukewarm coffee is kind of gross, isn't it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Nobody wants lukewarm. And neither does God. Amen?
Yeah.
So then, because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Yeah.
See, what this church is doing when they're saying that they're rich is that they're full. This is the church of America. I'm just telling you the truth. We live in a country, it's such a wonderful country. I'm so thankful for this country. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the blessings that we've had can be a hindrance to us if we don't keep our thinking right. Why? Because Americans have everything they need. We don't really know what war is like. Not in this country, we don't. Not like other countries do. Now, we have servicemen and women that go overseas, and thank God for them, and they understand what war is like. But they they're supposed to go overseas, so it doesn't come here. But we don't know what it's like to have buildings blowing up all the time. In fact, we have one building or a few buildings, you know, in New York City when September 11th happened, and it just shut down the whole country, didn't it? Just a few buildings. You know, there's places in the world that neighborhoods will get blown up and life still goes on the way that it goes on. See, there's a difference in this country. I'm not saying that we should be, you know, we should be regretful because we don't know what pain and struggles are like. But we do have to, we do need to be warned here. Because the thing is, the truth is if we don't wake up, if the Church of America doesn't wake up, what's going to happen is we're going to fall into that. We're going to see that. In fact, I know spiritual people are much more spiritual than me and different people from different places, but have all seen the same thing. They have seen a time in prophecy through visions. They have seen a time where there are foreign troops on the soil of this country and they see women weeping. Because, and of course, the Bible tells us about things like this, that these kinds of things will happen. But they've seen it in this country. You see the things that are being torn apart in this country where nobody really knows, you know, what's right and wrong. This right and wrong thing is all mixed up. You know why it's all mixed up? Because the stinking church is all mixed up. You can't go to two churches and get the same answer. You can't go to the two churches and agree on anything that's clearly written in the Word. The Bible talks about things that are sin, and you got some churches saying, well, it's okay to sin, and some churches that are saying, no, you can't sin. And we have to understand that there is a temperature of things that need to be a certain way in the church. Amen. Otherwise, you become lukewarm. You get to that place where you're not valuable anymore. And God only puts up with stuff for so long. Now, see, the church has the ability to change it, but people in the church have to be interested. They have to be engaged in what God is doing. Otherwise, they are not interested, and they become lukewarm. You know, we've seen this. I've seen this in our own circles where people just aren't as excited as they used to be excited. Listen, sometimes when you're first there, it's just like a relationship. When you're first in a relationship, it is so easy to be excited, isn't it? Oh man, they could do anything, and it just sends you gaga. Makes you goofy, right? Praise the Lord. You say, oh, I just love him or I love her. Oh, everything is great. But what happens when you're married for a few years? What happens when you've been around each other? When you're around each other when they wake up in the morning, or you're around each other when they, you know, someone comes out of the bathroom and you didn't smell that before. You know what I'm saying? You weren't into all that before, but now you know that they had to do the same things. But you see now, because it's just not as exciting, we kind of float away a little bit. We start kind of getting a little bit bored. And then we start getting distracted. We start looking around. It was great when it was saving you. It was great when it was pulling you out of hell. But you know, now that you've been there for a little while, you just don't, the roller coaster ride just maybe isn't as great, and it just seems like it's not. You got to stir yourself up. I said, you got to stir yourself up. You keep yourself from being lukewarm. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got a coffee pot at home. Sometimes I make a pot of coffee. When I make a pot of coffee, sometimes after it goes off for a little while, it gets what? Lukewarm. When I go over and I notice it's lukewarm, what do? Turn the coffee pot back on to heat the coffee back up, right? Sometimes we got to heat ourselves back up. Sometimes we got to say, listen, you know what? The plan of God has not changed. See, this is where a lot of people fail. This is where a lot of Christians fail, because what happens is they start getting lukewarm. Their things start cooling off a little bit. Maybe there isn't the move of God that they always thought that they needed to see or whatever it was. But they start cooling off a little bit, and then they start looking elsewhere. Yeah. And see, when your hottie comes around for the first time, and you know what I mean, and you're looking at him, and you're like, oh yeah, you're like, you're all about it, amen. But then sometimes down the road a little ways, you start getting, you know, maybe you get bored. Yeah. I'm not saying I do, because I don't. Praise the Lord. Glory to him. And she don't either. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something, and this is a matter of a fact. We stir ourselves up. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we could be just like everybody else and get bored with it. Yeah. We ain't going to get bored. How do we stir ourselves up? First thing is, I tell her all the time that she's hot. Yeah. Why? Praise the Lord. Well, because she is. Hallelujah. And she tells me I look good too. And I know I've changed, but she tells me I look good. But why does she tell me all the time? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. And she wants to hear over and over. She needs to hear. You know what I mean? So she reminds herself of that. Praise God. I know I don't look like I did when we first met. Praise the Lord. But there's more to it than that, you know? And church is the same way. We need to be stirred in the things of God. We have to, wait a minute. God's word didn't change. My life is still good. Sometimes I do this. I remind myself of how good my life is. Why? Because you can get distracted by all kinds of things going around you. It's like, you know, there's all kinds of things going around me, but my life is good. My life is good. You know what I mean? I woke up today. Praise the Lord. I got out of bed. They didn't take the house yet. They didn't come get my truck yet. Praise the Lord. I'm not 6 feet under. I'm not sick. And even if you are, praise the Lord, you can get better. Hallelujah. Even if you're not feeling good today, you just keep confessing, I'm going to be better. Praise the Lord. Believe God for healing, because he'll heal you. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. We got to stir ourselves up. We got to stir ourselves up to be right. You know, there's sometimes I don't want to, you know, I say this all the time. There's days I wake up, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to do right. There's lots of times I look at stuff, I want to be a jack wagon like everyone else. You know what I mean? Because I'm not allowed to be. If I go be a jack wagon, I lose my job. You can go be a jack wagon, people still come see you. But I, you know what I'm saying? I go up and do something stupid. You know what I'm saying? And just in the flesh, you know what I mean? But why do? Because I love the plan of God. I love who God is. I want to continue in the path that He started me in. And we are the ones that choose whether or not we're going to continue in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be engaged. I want to be engaged. Why? You get engaged because you want to be married. What's married? Marriage joined together, right? Praise the Lord. That's a wedding talk. But I want to be engaged with God. Why? Because I want to be joined together with Him. Why? Because I know I can't do it on my own, but I know I can do it with Him. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said that all things are possible to him who believes. So I want to be married to the right person, right? Amen. Hallelujah. I can just tell you by experience. Being married right matters. It matters, folks. Amen. And so we want to be married to God. We want to stay stirred up by God. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We stir ourselves up towards the things of God. We stir ourselves up in the things of God. God will let us go through periods of time where things aren't exciting. And I'll tell you why. Because He wants to know what's in your heart. He wants to know, are you going to stick around? Or are you just here for the thrill? Yeah, amen. People are like, oh, I just came because I like that Holy Ghost service. Yeah, sometimes people are like that. I liked it when people got up and running around. I like it when someone laid hands on me and it felt like lightning hit me and I fell on the floor and shook. But you know, that's not what we're supposed to live on. The Bible doesn't say live on every experience that you have. It says by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. That's where we live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And in that, it's in that place that we find the joy. It's in that place where we continue. You know, there's, in anything in life, there's anything you can get bored with. And of course, in some things in life, you can get bored with them and change. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But we don't want to be people that just live, bebopping back and forth. I've seen that people do that actually all the time with things they're not supposed to. They do that with jobs. Listen, you aren't supposed to job hop. Right. Just seek the Lord. He'll give you a good job. He'll show you where to go. He'll teach you where to apply. You know, sometimes a little bit of that. But if your life is always one job to the next, if your job is always one boyfriend or girlfriend to the next, one spouse to the next, or one house to the next, one state to the next, whatever it is, back and forth here and there, never being settled, God isn't like that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And the people of God shouldn't be like that either. Amen. What God has for us is always good. It's blessed. Amen? Glory to God. Now, here's a question I want to ask you. Coasting, and I want to make this statement first, coasting is not engaged. Are you coasting in your faith? Are you coasting in your life? Are you just getting through to the next day? Listen, I want to just get through. Who wants to just get through?
No.
Who wants to just get by? Is there anybody that wants to just okay? No, I don't want to just, praise God, hallelujah. You know why sports cars are such a big industry? You know why they can't sell a Yugo for $100,000? Because it coasts. I had a 1982 Chevelle. 1982 Chevette, yeah, exactly. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Where were you when I was getting a 1982 Chevette? That car would go 30 miles an hour downhill with a good wind if it was going in the right direction. You know, the wind. Yeah. It didn't go anywhere. It was terrible. And but that car, you know, nobody's paying $100,000 for that car. You know, even today, there's a lot of cars that people go back and they buy and they fix up. You don't see any of those hot rodded out. Why? Because you can't hot rod them out. It just wouldn't work, amen. Nobody's paying big money for that. But now you go find you go find certain cars. I mean, you go to California, you see Lamborghinis, a $300,000 car. Why do people pay that kind of money for the car? Those cars didn't even comfortable. I was in a rental car. I didn't rent it; someone else did. But it was a 5.0 Mustang, amen. That car, It flew. It was a newer one, but it just flew. It I don't know all the stuff, you know, so I'm not going to try to sound gearheady or smart or anything, but it just went fast. It was a 5.0 Mustang. It sounded good, right? And it went fast. Praise the Lord. But it was uncomfortable as all get out. I mean, it was terribly uncomfortable to the point where I'm like, I hate this car. Do you know what I mean? But people aren't buying it for the comfort. What are they buying it for? Because they can go from point A to point B really fast. They ain't even supposed to. These cars go way faster than they're supposed to. But it doesn't matter. But what's the whole deal with it? They engage. It's how they engage. Amen. They don't just coast down the hill. People don't spend that kind of money. People don't put that kind of importance in something that's just coasting. They put that kind of importance in something that's going to rip. They put that, you know what I mean? And as Christians, we need to be people that are stirred up. Man, we're like sitting at the light spinning our tires, you know what I mean? And not spinning our tires because we're spinning our wheels, you know, that's different. Spinning your tire, I might like barking your tires, you know, just like take off. Glory to God, that was a bad sound, but you get the point. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we better get going here. Are you coasting? We don't want to be coasters. Amen. Coasters are not, they're not valuable. Amen. John 6:48. Go ahead and turn there with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Love what God wants to do. I love what he's doing. Amen. I love the work of God. Sometimes I get stir crazy a little bit. You know, sometimes I sit there and I go, man, I want to get into the next stage. And there ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of that. As long as you don't get out ahead of God. You know what I mean? I mean that's what you do. You know, they do that thing with cars. I don't know if it's good or not, but they do it when they want to spin the tires, you know, and screech tires real loud. It's called power braking. You know what I mean? And you're putting on the brake, stepping on the gas at the same time, and the whole idea is that it keeps it, the brakes are holding it in place, but man, when it just takes off, you know, it just you can just tell it wants to take off. Yeah. You know, that's all right a little bit. You know, we're allowed to do that. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Look what Jesus said here. Praise the Lord. He goes, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, you're probably thinking about like what a lot of the Jews were thinking at that time. What the heck is he talking about? Do I got to eat this guy? What does this mean? Are we gonna sit down? Is this cannibalism? Is this some kind of weird cult thing? You know what I mean? No, that's not what he's talking about. But see, they were getting kind of confused. Amen? The Jews, therefore, quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, now he's going from just the flesh, he's going into the blood. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said to the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is saying a lot of things here, right? But what he's not talking about is actually eating Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. What's for dinner tonight? Jesus. That's not what he's saying. Amen? You know what I mean? He's not saying like what he's talking about. This he's using symbolism to talk about partaking of the word, partaking of the life of Christ, partaking of the things that he has for us. Amen? And we learn in other places that that Jesus was the word. And he talks about abiding in him and his abiding in the word. Amen? Praise the Lord, and being his disciples. Glory to God. Now, sometimes we're going to hear things that are a little bit hard for us to swallow, yeah. A little bit hard for us to understand. Sometimes we're not going to fully get why everything happens. Sometimes we're not going to see the end from the beginning. Right. Praise God. We don't need to. Right. What we need to do is trust God. Yeah. If we have got to be people that have to understand everything in that moment, we are going to miss what God has for us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was thinking about this, you know, because a lot of people, what Jesus is trying to talk about is he's trying to get people to understand where their supply is. He's trying to get people to understand that what they need is more than just what they need is more than just the actual food they're going to consume. What they need is more than just the clothes that they're going to put on. You know, as I got to thinking about this, I got to thinking about a child and how a child is. You know, a child, to any child, the supply, their supply is the cupboards. You know what I mean? They go to the cupboard, and whatever they need generally is there. And if they don't, they go to their other supply that they know of, the next place, and that's their parents. Yeah. Praise God, right? And so to them, their parents might be their supply, the cupboards might be the supply, but the truth of the matter is neither of those things are their supply. Praise God. To their parents, their supply might be their job. In their mind, they might think, well, if I go to work and I work a job, then I'm going to get a paycheck. And when I get the paycheck, I can do things like buy a house, buy a car, buy food, raise kids, all this stuff. And see, a lot of times to people, that's what their supply is. It's their job. What Jesus is doing is he's really addressing all this kind of stuff right there. Amen? Because their job is not possible without mental and physical ability, right? Praise the Lord. And so some would say that the supply, some would say that that's the supply. But the truth is, all things originate not with us. They all originate with God. The supply is always with God. The ability, your mental, the fact that you can think about two things and add two things together in your head, just a simple equation. You took at somebody who has brain damage or something like that, and sometimes they can't do the most basic things that we take for granted, but all those things are supplied from God. All that ability is supplied from God. And that's exactly what Jesus, when we say, what does this have about being engaged? We're going to see that in a minute. Praise the Lord. But God, with God, true ability or supply or provision, it always starts with him. Amen? If you are not partaking of the truth, you will fail. And this is where the people of God, this is part of why where this distraction or this disengagement comes from, is because here they've come to church and they've come in with their carnal knowledge. When you come to church, when you came to church for your first time, if you had heard nothing about God, when you started hearing things, this was different than what you were raised to believe. What you learned out there in the world, or what we learn out there in the world, those things are different than the things that we learn in here. If those things are the same, something's wrong. Yeah. Amen? We don't come to church. You don't come to church. You don't come to church and ask your pastor, "Hey, how do I fill out my taxes?" Because I can't tell you that. Right. Praise the Lord. My wife could, but I can't tell you how to do that because I don't do that. I don't know any of that stuff. You could come to me and say, "Well, how does this car work?" Praise the Lord. I have no idea. That's why I got Denny. Thank God for Denny. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because I don't know the most basic stuff. Glory to God. It's just the truth. I don't need to, though, because I know somebody in a lot of things. But what do we come to church for? We come to church to learn spiritual truths, amen? And if we're not partaking of the truth, if we're not engaged in what's being spoken, if we're not connecting with what's being preached, then what's happening is we're failing. Because the truth of the matter is our supply, even though there's jobs that we go to, it's an avenue that God can use. But that in of itself is not the supply. Why? Because has anyone learned that jobs come and go?
Yeah.
Has anyone learned that people come and go?
Yeah, sure.
Praise the Lord. If you know anything about people, is they're wishy-washy. One day they'll be there, one day they won't. You can't count on people for anything. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, there's plenty of you that are wonderful people and that we trust and we have help us out. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. If any one of you at any point came to me and said, "I'm all done," I wouldn't be surprised. And why is that? Because that's the way people are. People are fickle. People go back and forth. I'm not saying you will, but you understand what I'm saying. We don't put our bank on people. I don't put my bank on my supply. I'm going to tell you something. My paycheck, don't cut it. It don't do what I want to do with it. My wife's paycheck ain't going to get us what we want out of a paycheck. I'm imagining yours probably doesn't either. If your paycheck, if your job, if the things of this world, if these things are the things that supply you in your head, in your understanding, you've already failed. Because at any point in time, those things can be ripped from you. Where do Christians fall apart so often is when their supply has been found in something of this world. It gets pulled out from under them, and then they start saying, but God. And it wasn't God at all. If you had trusted in God, the thing is you will know that there's always an answer. There's always a way. And see, this is the point. I'm not saying that everything that happens to you is your fault. Things happen in this world just because we're living in a fallen world. There's a devil that hates you, and he's going to try to rip everything out from under you. And this is what the devil knows. He knows that if your supply, if your engagement is in those things, when he can take those things, then he's got you too. And this is where so many Christians fail, is because they have been created to be conquerors. They've been recreated to be winners, to be the ones that are overcome. Praise the Lord. Actually, one of the churches there, praise God, where is it? Let me go back to Revelation real quick. Praise the Lord. Where was I reading it? Yeah, but there's one. Chapter 3, verse 12. This is the faithful church. Glory to God. Who wants to be faithful church? Church of Philadelphia. Praise the Lord. The faithful church. Verse 12. He who overcomes. He who overcomes. What does that mean? Some people won't overcome. He said, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Praise the Lord. Yes. Glory to God. He who overcomes, we've been made to overcome, but that does not mean that we automatically overcome. It matters where our supply, where our connection is. It matters what we're engaged with in. Amen. Praise the Lord. The purpose of engagement, of a natural engagement, is really to make the final steps before the marriage. You don't want to be married to something that isn't good. It isn't going to be carrying you forward. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Listen, we all have vehicles out there probably, right? You got four tires on your vehicle. One of those tires could be wonderful, could be the most expensive, best tire. But if the other three are terrible, you're not going to go very far. If the other three are missing, you're not going to go. We need all the parts. You understand? We need to be engaged and connected to things that are truth, that are faithful, things that we can rely on. And the things of this world, I'm just going to tell you, your jobs, even your spouse, friends, paychecks, your house, the country that you live in, all these things can fail you. Praise the Lord. God has promised that He has not promised that these things will not fail you. In fact, he said, in the world, and that means in the world, in the processes of the world, and everything that is in the world, in that place, you will have tribulation. In your job, you'll have tribulation. In your business, you'll have tribulation. In your marriage, sometimes, there can be tribulation. Praise the Lord. But you need to be an overcomer. You don't need to be wrapped up in those things. If those things are your supply, and that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you need me. You need to partake of what I have, not partake of you. He was saying, he said, your fathers partook of manna, and they thought the manna was their supply. They said, because when they were in the wilderness, they said, God, they said, we don't have any food. They said, you got to feed us. And so he sent them food, and they didn't just love the food, but they ate it, and they knew they thought that was their supply. And they forgot. They started complaining against it because they forgot that wasn't their supply, but that was an avenue that God used. Yeah. And then when the manna dried up, they were dumbfounded. Yeah. Well, where'd it go? God didn't change. He supplied you to show you that he will always supply you. Who cares if he gives you bread on the ground or if he sends the birds to bring you meat in the air? Praise God. That, you know, these are ways he did it. It doesn't matter how he gets it to you. The knowledge has to be that he will. The knowledge has to be that he will take care of you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This is my food. What Jesus got is something that we so often forget, that as we do, as we are engaged in what God is doing, he always provides. He never lets those lack. He said, anyone who believes in me will never be put to shame. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're lacking, you're put to shame. If you trusted God and you lacked, then you've been put to shame. But if you trust in God, if you really trust God, you will never lack. I'm not saying you won't have moments, because there was one of the churches there. Which church was it? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. One of the churches there was the church that was persecuted, and they were in poverty. But God supplied. He promised. Amen. He got them through. We see other churches like that that were in poverty for a time. But God, Smyrna, right? Praise the Lord. God always got them through. He always took them through to the other side. Why? Because his word is true. And so even if you're in a place where it doesn't look like fullness, it doesn't matter because your God is full. Amen. And if he's your supply versus the other things, praise the Lord. That's why Jesus could say, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. I'm not worried about what I'm going to eat today. I'm not worried about how I'm going to do all this. I just know, listen, if you know this one thing, if you know, you say, wait a minute, I was thinking about this today. God, I'm connected to your work. You put me in Mayville. You brought me to Mayville, in fact. And you put me in a church to pastor a church. And you've brought people into that church. And there is a mandate on these churches to go out and reach this area. There is a mandate on these churches to go out into the world. So if there's a mandate on this church to do this, and you've made me a part of this church, then you got something for me. You've got a supply for me. Because it's going to take a supply to go out there. It's not free to go to Corey. How do we go down there? Something, God supplies it. But see, what people have to do is they have to start realizing that. They have to start realizing, wait a minute, it doesn't matter what it looks like. All that matters is I'm in the right place. Because if I'm in the right place, then I have all I need. Why? Because all this other stuff, it isn't my supply. You get what I'm saying? I'm saying if it looks like it, and that's all it ever does. Amen? Praise the Lord. It looks like you're poor. But he said, I'm going to go back to the Revelation. Hallelujah. Revelation Revelation 2, verse 8, the church of Smyrna, not Smirnoff, hallelujah. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life, I know your works, tribulation, and poverty. He says, but you were rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. He's telling them what's going to happen. He's telling them tribulation's coming. That you may be tested and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. Hallelujah. You're promised the crown of life if you don't quit. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's go back to John 6. We're going to pick it up, back up in verse 60. And now we're staying in context. Remember, Jesus was just talking about this, right? Praise the Lord. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Is this going to trip you up? Are you going to hear something sometimes? Are you going to hear something in church? And maybe you don't understand why we had to go plant a church in Corey. Maybe you don't understand why we're going to plant a church somewhere else. Maybe you don't understand why we need to finish the building. Maybe you don't understand why we need to support this ministry. Maybe you don't understand why we have to have this guest minister in. Maybe you don't understand that. Is it going to offend you? Is it going to rob you from where God's planted you? Is it going to rob you from where God has put your supply? Is it going to rob you from where God wants to bless you? Are you going to let some offense just because you don't get it? Praise the Lord. Do you know how many times I had the opportunity to walk away from what God was blessing me? Where God had connected me? Oh, glory to God. We always have that opportunity. Praise God. He says, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You think that you have your life in what you're breathing. This is one of the things, like when you do a funeral as a pastor, this is one of the things that you always try to get people over into understanding. Because this is one of the things. See, we all think that we have life because we're sitting here breathing. But that's not life. Sure, you're living, you're breathing, you're animated, but that's not life. Listen, there's plenty of people that are breathing that have no kind of life. You understand what I'm saying? The life that is found in God, though, that's life. That's eternal. That's unending. We don't die as a Christian. You transition. So if you're a Christian who transitions, praise the Lord, you're doing all right. Praise God. So we don't get robbed from that. Listen, if you come next Sunday, my wife stands up here and says, we don't know exactly why, but my husband passed on. He transitioned. Glory to God. This is one thing you can know. I'm partying in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't get sad about it. Yeah. Maybe you don't understand. You could get offended and leave. You can get offended I'm not saying I'm going to, you understand what I'm saying. I'm not speaking this into my life or anything like that. No, I'm going to the end, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. I'm going to go all the way through. But my point is that we don't hang our hat on man. We don't hang our hat on things of the world. We hang our hat on God, who is unshakable, who is unmovable, who is going to continue going forward, even if we don't. God is always going to go forward. And so if we hang our hat on him, guess what? We just have no choice but to go with. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, he said. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, listen to this, from that time, everybody say, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. This is God in the flesh, the Savior of the world. Praise God. This is the creator of everything that exists. And from that time forward, because of their offense, many walked with him no more. Since they walked away from him, they left him. They were his disciples. Do you know what a disciple? A disciple isn't just some yahoo that walks into church and listens for a few weeks and leaves. A disciple is one that sat there and listened to the teacher, called him Lord, called him teacher, said, this is where I'm connected, say, this is changing my life, and then walks away. Or gets distracted by other things. Praise God. Do you stay engaged? There'll be plenty of things. There was times with Jesus that they were tempted to be drawn away. Don't think it's strange that there's times where you feel like, man, I don't feel like it anymore. You're never told to go by your feelings. You're told to be operating by the truth. If you operate according to your feelings, I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to make it. You won't get very far because there'll be days when a good feeling's hard to find. Do you know every day that I wake up to this beauty next to me. Praise the Lord. But not every day that I wake up, we're necessarily happy with each other. And what I mean is we can get into something real easy that maybe will offend each other. We're human, right? You understand, I'm not picking on my wife. She's not picking on me. I'm just saying that there's times where, you know, maybe you woke up a few minutes late and you got a rush or something like that. Or maybe I woke up, I didn't get enough sleep. Maybe I stayed up too late or something like that. And I woke up early and didn't get enough sleep. And so I'm a little bit more grumpy or something like that. If we let those moments control our lives, then dear Jesus, we wouldn't last very long. Do you know this is why marriages go sour? This is the only reason. The only reason marriages go sour is because people get selfish. Yeah, that's it. If two people just did what the word said, there would never be a reason for divorce. Never be a reason. I'm not saying there's not a reason for divorce. I said if two people, both people, did what the word said, there would never be a reason for it. Because of course there's times where you're not going to be happy with each other. Of course there's times where, but you know what we do? In those times we bank on the things that aren't our feelings in the moment. This is why this society is so dangerous. Just live by your feelings. You can't live by your feelings. If you live by your feelings, you're going to be in the gutter. You're going to be a train wreck. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I didn't finish today. From that time, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? He just put it all up there. There's a door. Don't let it hit you in the butt. But Simon Peter answered him, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Right. Yeah. I got a good thing going, man. I ain't giving it up for nobody. I got a good thing going. I'm not giving it up for nothing. No way. I am not going to backslide. I'm not going to go to where I was before. You ain't gonna get me to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with Luke 9:59. Am I doing well? How am I doing on time, love? Oh, I got time. She said an hour and 15, I think is what she said. Luke 9:59. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got to replenish a few fluids here for a minute. Luke 9:59. There it is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 9:59. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, the guy that he said that to, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, what's he saying? Can you not love your father? You can't. That's not what he was saying. It goes on, and he'll explain it more here. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The point Jesus is making here is exactly what people do. People will come up with every excuse not to continue on with God. Oh, this or that. Or, oh, this or that. This comes up, that comes up. I mean, you could just put it in there. If it's an excuse that takes you away from where God has planted you and what God has planted you in, you understand where God has planted you is not just a church. He's planted you in a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, there is a plan for you and it is connected to somewhere. And if you remove yourself from that, you remove yourself from that plan. And if you remove yourself from that plan, you remove yourself from God's blessing. Now God, because he loves his people, will always bless them as much as he can. But this is why we're told there's different types of ground. And in those different types of ground, there's different amounts of that they produce. Some will produce a lot and some will produce little. It never has anything to do with God's desire. It has everything to do with what man or woman will do. If you will be faithful to God, then you will produce much. What do you mean by produce? Like, well, everything that God has you do in the plan. But if you take your, if you remove yourself out of that plan, you disqualify yourself from it. And you can't finish what God, the best thing that people can do is get on their knees before the Lord and say, God, I know you got me planted here or there. What do you have for me to do? And then find out and just keep seeking him and seeking. Actually, one of the Ask the Pastor faith fixes that we answered is along those lines. Is it the next week, the one that comes out next week? Praise the Lord. So be looking for it. But it's about following the plan, getting into what, it's not just about you being, like, listen, it doesn't have to be this church that's the plan. It just has to be where God has planted you. Now, what I'm saying, when I say that, I also, you know, there's an understanding that God isn't, you know, bebop and you're around. God will plant you and he wants you to grow somewhere. And then you stay faithful in that area. The problem is when people just start bebopping around. You know, like I have a good friend. Praise God for him. But that's what he always does. Bebops around. And that's why his life always looks like chaos. That's why his life, you know, he sees my life every once in a while and he's like, wow, praise the Lord. You know, this is awesome. Glory to God. Yeah, this is what happens when you follow God. You just, God will bless you. When you follow God, when you give your whole heart to God, he just blesses you. You ain't got to even ask for stuff. He just, stuff will show up. Praise the Lord. He takes care of you. Why? Because he's a good father. Amen. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Stay engaged. When you come to church, you don't just, like, this is what I'm saying. I don't care if it's this church. I don't care if it's the church up the road, if it's the church across the lake. I don't care if it's the church down south. Wherever God has planted you, get connected and stay engaged. Say, Lord, I am here for the long haul. I am here for however you want to use me and whatever you want to do. And then find out how you can feed that. Learn how you can feed that. Just do everything you can to do that. Why? Because when you do that, when you learn that flow, then you connect to something that can't, the devil can't get into.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe many of you are called here.
Yeah.
I would assume because you keep showing up that you believe you're called here. So this is where your connection would be. But you know, if I was preaching this in Jamestown, I'd be telling them to be doing the same thing there. If I was preaching this in the Methodist church up the street, I would be telling them to do it there. Wherever you're called, it does not matter. I don't have to have people in the church for me to teach them the truth. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, they have to be around me to hear if they want to hear what I'm saying. But you know, it applies no matter where you are. This applies in the jungles of Africa,
yeah,
or the deserts of Africa, or whatever else is in Africa. The islands of Africa. Praise the Lord. This applies in Israel. This applies in Egypt. This applies in Great Britain. This applies in Ireland. This applies in Russia. Even in China, this applies. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. See, no one's exempt, and that's a great thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 10:37. Aren't you glad, though? Because here's the thing, and again, I want to go back and hit this point. If God has placed you somewhere, then that means, according to His word, that He has also supplied you somewhere. Yeah. And if you're where God has placed you, rejoice, or start rejoicing, because that means something. That wakes you up. Wait a minute. I have a supply right here. Are you called to Family Church Mayville? If you are, I'm just going to tell you right now. Where you're at, you have a supply. Not a supply that doesn't provide a full supply. The blessings of God work in your life because of where you're connected. Do you live in Mayville? Does it look like not much is going on? It doesn't matter because those things aren't your supply. God is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, you don't even know. I'm preaching a lot better than your amen. And amen, I got some stuff for you today, man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know what? My wife and I, we live this. We're in our house, and there's things we want to do to our house. There's things that we want to pay off. There's things that, you know, all these things. You know what we do? We rejoice in the fact that we know that God brought us to the house. So you know what? The house is supplied. There's times it don't look like it, but it's supplied. Hallelujah. There's times in each other's life where God uses us to supply something in someone else's life and we don't even know it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Sometimes you'll send a message to somebody and you don't even know, but that was a supply to them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll be like, here, you know, this is on my heart to bless you with this. And you don't even realize that God used you to supply that for their life.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God has used many of you to supply things in my life. What am I saying? I'm not saying you have to do anything for me in the future. What I'm saying is many of you have done nice things for us before, and it has blessed us or put us in the position where we could be a blessing to others. It has done so many times. Why? Because God, that's the way God works. And it's not just me because I'm the pastor. It works back and forth. It works, you know, here and there. We it's just like we said. There was a faithful couple in the Lord that we know that we just, it's been on our heart to bless them. Now the devil's tried to kind of come against it. Right? We have a certain amount in mind that we want to take to them and bless them with. We don't have that amount currently, but we're believing God for it. And like I said, the devil's tried to attack it. He's tried to attack it with disinterest. He's even got at me and tried to feel like, dude, is this really God? Yeah. All these things, right? But it doesn't matter. But see, this is the thing. They don't even know it's coming. God's got the supply, and as quick as He gets it to me is as quick as I get it to them. Hallelujah. So isn't that wonderful? God does that in the lives of people who follow Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's just a wonderful thing. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Matthew 10:37. Praise the Lord. We'll read through verse 39. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Does that mean don't love your mom or dad? Praise the Lord. I love my mom. I love her so much, I make her come to church. Hallelujah. See, I forced her to be here. She didn't want to be here. I said, Ma, you got to come. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you right now, I love that woman with my whole heart. I don't love her more than Jesus. I love that woman with my whole heart, but I don't love her more than Jesus. I love these runts here and these, you know, these kitties here, but I don't love them more than Jesus. Praise the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. I wouldn't have any of them without Him. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take up his cross and follow me after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. What does Jesus say? He says, you got to give up everything in your life. You just got to throw everything away, and you can't ever have nothing but just to say that God loves you and you love him, and that's all you can ever have. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is you can't sit there and focus on everything that you want, everything that's yours, everything that, you know, he who finds his life. In other words, these people that spend their life just trying to make their life. Well, I gotta have a bigger house. I gotta have a bigger car. I gotta have more kids. I gotta have this. I gotta have that. Listen, follow God. If that's what you're following, it's going to come to a head. It just will. There's people. Praise the Lord. There's nobody in here right now that I know of. Glory to God, look around. I don't think there's anybody in here. But there is people. There's even people that sit in our church that if they don't change, they are going to find hurt. And it's not because God is trying to pull it from them. It's because they're not listening. They're not doing what God is telling them to do. And God is, he's warning them. There are people, I watch it all the time, and I watch it with tears. There's people in our church that have been in our church that pain and suffering is in their future because they won't listen to what God is doing. It's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing. God has given us a church to preach these things. Do you think Jesus, think about when Jesus was here. They were obviously offended enough at Jesus to walk away from him, right? To walk away from him and never come back. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, the only reason that any of us can go to heaven. And they walked away from him. There was something that offended them enough to walk away from the supply, from the life that God had for them. But what happened? They walked away. Actually, if you look at it, most of them walked away. Most of the people that followed Jesus left him. Most of them. Most of the people, there's a large number of people that sit in churches that will not receive what God has for them, that will have pain and suffering in their lives because they don't want to listen. And God will warn them. He's so good. He will warn them and warn them and warn them. But there's a time when God just says, fine. He gives them over, just like we preached this recently, right? He gives them over to do those things which aren't fitting. They can have that life that they want, but they're going to lose it. Why? Because it's not built on him. It's not because he's just ripping it out from under him. It's because the devil has free reign. When you are out of the will of God, listen. Yeah. Listen to me and share this with your friends for God's sakes. When you are out of the will of God, you are in open season for the devil. Yeah. God, you're gonna hate what I'm about to say, but I'm going to tell you the truth. God can't stop it. Yeah, right. He can't stop it. Right. You will be on your knees pleading with God. And he'll say, I can't stop it. You stepped out from under the cover. Yeah. It's no different than if my kid goes out into a rainstorm, is running around. I can't stop them from getting wet. No. Jesus, the Son of God, the God Almighty, God in the flesh, could not stop people from stepping out into the rain. Yeah. And he can't today. So we have to stay sober about this. We have to stay engaged. We have to stay connected. And we have to encourage others to stay connected. Yeah. With what God is doing. Because the minute we walk out from under that covering, we open ourselves up to the attack of the devil. And I'm going to say it another time, God can't stop it. He can't stop. He can't do anything. No amount of prayer will stop it. The only thing that will fix somebody who is in disobedience is to get back into obedience. Yeah. It's the only thing. Yeah. But most of the time, and as we've seen through 5 years of having a church and through 10 years of being in the ministry, praise the Lord, what we have seen over and over and over again is that once somebody walks out from under that, it's nearly impossible for them to come back. And it's not because God isn't welcoming. He's always welcoming and open to it. But it's because people just get wrapped up. They get deceived and they just walk in this place of deception and they just can't ever see it. They can't ever see it. It's sad. It's so sad. But this is the, you know, this is the thing about staying in faith and staying with, you know, what God is doing. We have to choose to do it. We have to continue to stay engaged. If we don't, God can't force us. He's not going to force any of us to do right. We have to choose it on our own. Amen. I'm going to close with this. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus himself promised that the things you need for life, that they will be provided for you if you stay connected. Seek first God. Seek first God. Listen, I want to end it on a soft note because I really want you to get it. Finding God, seeking God, and following the path of God, it's not hard. Jesus said, take upon you my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Praise the Lord. It's not hard. It may seem like it's hard, but it's not hard. He's given us many avenues. One of those is he's given us all a church. Praise the Lord. He's given us all a pastor. And if we're connected in the right place, both of those things will help keep us in protection. The job of a pastor, literally the name pastor means, the word pastor means shepherd. A shepherd protects the flock. How do they do that? By preaching the word, by giving them food. By feeding them with food, spiritual. I don't feed you. I don't come up to your house and shovel soup into your mouth, right? Praise the Lord. You know, every once in a while, I might buy you lunch or something, praise God, or something like that. But it's not my job to feed you that way. That's where so many churches lose it. Because they think that feeding people, Jesus wasn't talking about just going around feeding everybody, just having big church. There's nothing wrong with potluck dinners and feeding people when they're hungry. But that's not our focus. Our focus is feeding the word so people can live in the blessing of God. Because if you know the word, you know the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. And if you live according to it, the devil can't get you. It forms a hedge of protection. I don't know about you, but I'm stirred. I'm excited. I'm encouraged. I know that there's things here tonight that have been established, that have been planted in this church that Satan cannot come against. There's things, there are things that he's doing in many of you. Praise the Lord. That is forever changing your life today. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'll just encourage you. I know we have a few people from other church. Praise the Lord, other churches. Take it back to your church. Glory to God. Help stir people for hunger in your church. Because every church, that's all it needs. It needs somebody who's on fire. You know what happens? You don't have to light a very, very big fire. But I guarantee you, I go over in that park tonight and I light a little fire. I guarantee you I have people standing around it. Why? Because even a little fire will draw people in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put a little light on my porch and the bugs come in like flock, you know. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter. We bring all the bugs in. Hallelujah. Bring them in. Let's get them cleaned up. Praise the Lord.